Who is making those announcements for us today? Oh, there you go. Stephen, you have double duty today.
Triple duty.
All right. Go ahead, Pop.
All right. So most of the announcements are in your bulletin, but I wanted to point out a couple of things that are coming up immediately. The family camping trip is the 2 weekends from now on August 4th. So grab your tents and sleeping bags. We're headed to Pickle Gulch. Contact Larissa if you're interested. Reverend, I'm going to get this all wrong, Young Hugh McDonald is sharing stories of her ministry as chaplain at the Adams County Detention Center. That'll be on July 29th from 9 to 10 and 10:30 to 11:30 in Fraser Parlor. The Solos are going to visit Fraser on Wednesday, August 1st. They'll be resuming their monthly luncheons. And for everything else, just check out your bulletin. I wanted to point out that the flowers today are in in honor of the 14th anniversary for the Kirkpatricks. So.
Wow, congratulations.
Congratulations. And that's, right, I'm supposed to say, we'll flush this one.
Would you stand and greet one another?
Please greet each other with a handshake and an embrace and tell one another about a great personal hope for the future.
All right. Oh, I really, really hope you sing well today.
So do I. Yeah.
Was that a personal hope for you? We want to share our collect together. We're working on our tech right now. I'm seeing that as an issue, but we'll carry on just as we would. Would you pray with me? God, help us with our troubles. We certainly don't know what to do with them. Help us with our anxieties. They overwhelm and undermine. Help us with our distress, the questions we have, the troubles we don't know how to solve, the problems that keep us awake at night. And let us rest in your presence in this hour. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn, if you'll stand with me, page 419, I Am Thine, O Lord. Please stand.
I am thine, O Lord, thank you. the cross, thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
You may be seated.
Big word. that we can help them as well.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Perfect. 1, 2. Thank you so much. Our children are teaching us about compassion. We have a chance to share our joys and our concerns together. We certainly want to be mindful that tomorrow Jean Barker's memorial service will be. We'll celebrate her life. Such an important part of Mountain View, such an important person in our midst. So prayers of support for Warren and their whole family. Prayers for Charisse Moritelli, whose father died unexpectedly. Wanda Rivera is with us. We want to make sure that, and Joe's here too, make sure that prayers go to you as you struggle with diagnosis of cancer. Yes. All right. Her tumor is shrinking. Prayers be healing for God, from God. Sandy Smith and family also need our prayers today. Who else would you lift up for prayers? Joanne.
Today is Joel Baby's birthday. And she is struggling with a bad infection. We actually have a birthday card here. Joey has one on that side. And, during the service, maybe if you wanted to speak to Joel, that would be great. We'll collect them afterwards.
All right. A birthday card for Joel Beatty. And there's one on each side. And you can write on that during the sermon. It's okay. Okay. Who else? What other joys and concerns do you bring? Pray for our video tech people. They are struggling this morning. But we'll lead you through it all and be patient and kind whenever you see them. All right. A number of prayer concerns for us today. Yes, yes. Oh, the boat capsizing and their families. I learned this morning, too, that over 250 homes were destroyed in basalt in a fire there, and I had not heard that so many homes were lost. A lot of forest fires, range fires going on. So prayers for those firefighters and for those families. Others? Yes, Jim. Jim and Joni are back from the Southland where Jim preached at his old church, and they just enjoyed being with friends and family. Others? Yes, Tula.
Flowers at Long Lake, the Gene Lenning Trail, are a gift.
Flowers at Long Lake and the trail there are a gift. Just enjoy being on the trail. Yeah. All right. Shall we bow together as we pray? And would you find someone's hand to hold on to? Be connected with somebody. We pray now first in silence, asking God to be with us in our worship, in our hearts, in our homes, and in our lives. In the clutter of our minds and hearts, O God, we ask that you brush off a clear space. Let us find a way, a perch, a place to listen for your voice. Help us this morning to turn loose of our anxieties and be able to hear your word. We pray your presence into being, Lord God, by making room in our life for you. And so we pray this morning in heartfelt ways for our nation, for our leaders, for those who have lost loved ones this week, saw damage to their property and health held in the balance. We give you thanks, Lord, for this place of worship, where we might hear each other's cries for hope. Touch our hearts, Heavenly Father. Let us be your children in this place, and let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would those bringing Hannah Allison forward for the sacrament of holy baptism come forward at this time? Families, welcome. Yeah. Sponsors, welcome. Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. All right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. For in the waters of baptism, we are reborn as children of God and inheritors of life eternal. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Without God having first acted, we would be unable to move toward God. But the good news is that in Jesus Christ, God has acted to make salvation possible. That God offers us must be accepted in repentance and in faith. Bonnie?
On behalf of this happy congregation, I welcome Hannah Allison Williams for holy baptism.
Yes. All right. I'm going to have the parents come forward over here and hold the... Your parents. Come around the front and hold the water. You see, my point of reference has changed over time. And hold the water. And sister's going to help with the water. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. As parents and sponsors on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you reject what's evil in the world? Do you repent of your sins and accept freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil in this world? If so, say I do. Do you confess your own faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you nurture Hannah Allison into Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, parents, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, we will. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Do you? That's surrounded by steadfast love. Lower this a little bit, and you're going to put your hands in the water with me, okay? There you go, sweetheart. Do you remember your baptism, honey? I bet you don't, because I was there, and you were her age. Okay, we're going to baptize your sister now, okay? You can help me put the water on her head. Okay, take your hand. Hannah Allison, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We ask that God's love would touch your heart in a special way and that we would be your family. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Way to go. Give me five. Nicely done. Nicely done. Members of the household of faith, we do commend to your care these persons now before you. Will you do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love? If so, say, we will.
We will.
All right. Okay, Dad, now it's my turn. It's my very distinct privilege to introduce, will you help me do that? Take my finger? There you go. To introduce this baby girl into our midst. Isn't she beautiful? Oh, feels so good. Beth, will you be the grandmother of all my grandbabies? This one's beautiful. Smells good, too. All right. Thank you. What a privilege. We welcome you into the family of God and surround this family with love. Please come afterwards for pictures. Thank you. Thank you. You may return to your seats. Would you rise with me as we sing our hymn of faith? It's on 2051 in the small hymnal, and we ask that you will look there. I was there to hear your morning cry.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old.
I rejoice
the day you were baptized. You see, Lord, I'm not old. I was there when you were a child. When you made your soul new and proud. In a blaze of life you wandered off to find where evil dwells. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord, to whom you now belong. If you find someone, share your time, and you join your hearts as one. I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk to rising sun. In the middle ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. If you find closes end and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise.
We invite them to be our servants so they might receive the gifts that we have and the gifts that are important for us to give. You may be seated. Holy God, make us thankful for the gifts that we have received and ready to share them with others. We ask a blessing on little ones who are baptized, their moms and dads and grandparents. We ask a blessing on little sisters and little brothers. We ask a blessing today on this congregation that we might be a blessing to others. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Won't you be seated? Triple duty. How did you work that out?
Scriptural meditation found in your bulletin. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Today's scripture focus comes from Mark 6, 30-34. It's in your Bible on page 818. Feeding the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and his compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The young abandoned husband, left alone without a reason, for the pilgrim in the city where there is no home, for the son without a father, for his solitary a strange new way, for the child who's always hungry, for the patriot with no country, I have a message. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Jesus loves you.
Amen and amen. As we start this message today, I'd like to ask you to take your hand and put it on your heart. Right, if you can feel your heart beating, that's even better. This is the heart that God has compassion for. This one, yours. This is the heart that God has compassion for. Amen. Anxiety is the theme for our message today. It's written and woven deeply into the story of Jesus crossing the sea, and it's written into the fabric of our daily lives in such a troublesome way that it is the water that we swim in. It is across the sea where we seek to get away from it. It is in the air that we breathe, the ground that we're walking on, and it is clear, at least to me, that this anxiety is affecting our ability to cope with our life. It's getting in the way of being able to reason out problems in our society. And we need solutions. I strongly acknowledge from this pulpit this morning that compassion is what we need. And I have compassion with each and every person whose heart is beating this morning in this place and around the world who are struggling with the anxiety that will not let them go. You see, I see that we live in a world squeezed by a civil war and limited resources, where a nation caught between misappropriated word by leaders and seemingly never-ending investigations of the investigators of the investigations of the investigators and the investigation of the oh my word and honor. And we're a congregation caught in the midst of a society wide devaluation of sacred community while trying to be true to our faith. We're a people who are being fed a steady diet of anxiety and angst. And is it any wonder or surprise to us that we're full of anxiety ourselves? What do we do about this? In an Apple News Service broadcast and later rebroadcast on National Public Radio, it was reported that rates of anxiety and depression among teens in the United States has been rising over many years. 1 in 3 adolescents meet the criteria for anxiety disorder. 1 in 3. 32% of teens report persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. 32%. And we don't have to look very far to find the source of their anxiety and depression. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, having lived adolescence, that it is a troubled and difficult time, And depression and anxiety are created in both the parents and the children, and it's not easy. But our children look to the adults for solutions. And it is the water that we are swimming in that is full of anxiety. And that's a big problem. What is it that our faith can help us do about this problem? What are the consequences of living in an almost constant state of fight or flight? How do we get away from those sources, and how do we carve out a space for God to care for this heart, the one that you have beating inside your chest? In our Bible passage, Jesus and his disciples want to go and find a lonely place. Now, I love this Bible passage because it gives me permission, every single one of us, to have some time away. Some of you will find rest in different aspects of gardening. Some of you will find rest in reading a book. A friend of mine here in this congregation calls that bibliotherapy. I thought that was a tremendous thought, reading a book. Just go read a book. Go read a book. Stretch it out. Give yourself some peace. Think about a story, stop worrying so much. The disciples are dog tired. Jesus too. Just previous to this passage that we read, the disciples have been sent off two by two to learn how to do ministry. To preach, to teach, to heal, to send evil packing. That's their job description. But it's trial and error work. It's not recorded here, but surely not every encounter was successful. It's not recorded in the Bible, but not every sermon landed, not every illustration went according to plan. Maybe some of the jokes that the disciples told weren't understood the way they were meant to be told. And not every exorcism took. Read in the paper this week about a fellow in Nigeria, I think it was, who decided to exhume the body of a friend and try to bring it back to life, like Lazarus. It didn't turn out well. Not everything works. People who are suffering can be cranky. People in distress can turn mean. I learned this as a teenager. You hold a good cat, even a good cat, over a tub of water, it will scratch you. People. The Gospel of Mark records that these disciples were pretty good at caring for people. But I'm inclined to believe that Mark was exaggerating. What's it like to deal with people who are buffeted about in their circumstance? What's it like to deal with people who are struggling in a sea of anxiety? Did any of you ever engaged in community organizing or vacation Bible school? Any of you ever do anything like that? Try to organize people to do something at work? Have you ever tried to you all work alone? Okay, anyway. Anybody who's tried to do that discovers that things just don't work out perfectly. The people you lined up to help you with a project never show up. The thing you tried to do gets criticized by someone who seems perfectly content to stand on the sidelines and gripe. The sick ones that you meant to visit died before you could get there. And the people you did visit and prayed with died anyway. But the most distressing thing is that the people you think you're helping are completely unaware and totally ungrateful for anything that you've done. That sounds about right, doesn't it? That sounds about right. People. Real ministry is humbling. Real care is done on the margins. And though it's not necessarily physical work, real charity can be exhausting. In the midst of the sea of anxiety, friends, we are given permission to rest. We are given permission to collect our thoughts. We are given permission to pray. And we need to make some time to do that. Jesus and his followers certainly need rest. And after a short trip across the water, it becomes abundantly clear that they aren't going to get any. How do we respond to life's challenges when we can't catch a break? What are you like when you fail to get the space you need to separate yourselves from the problems that have been foisted upon you by others or taken up by you without success? What are you like when you confront failure? What are you like when you are bone tired and out of gas. For people who are caregivers and people who care, there is an absolute necessity to be able to separate yourself, even briefly, on a regular basis, from the cares that you have, or the cares that you've taken up that don't belong to you, or the cares that others have foisted on you, so that you can get some space with God. Some space for yourself. Touch that heart again. Some space for this, for you. For you. That's where the healing happens. At our household, we share this this reminder. Beth reminds me of this, and I remind her, I hope lovingly, to each one of us. Not my monkeys, not my circus. Right? When she's fretting about something, I say, not my monkeys, not my circus. When I'm fretting about something, she says, not my monkeys, not my circus. So important to remember that from time to time. And I take it as value that she'll remind me, Steve, these are not our monkeys. This is not our circus. You have to be able to let go of some things. And you have permission from Christ in this passage, in his example, to seek rest, to seek perspective, to seek renewal. Mark's account of Jesus' ministry shows the speed at which things are beginning to snowball on them. And Mark's all about this. The immediacy, the pace of his gospel are hallmarks of his work. Suddenly, immediately, these are words that you'll find there. But in this passage, Jesus' compassion shines through. That's the remarkable thing. In the midst of anxieties, Jesus still is able to show compassion. And the focus is here not just on Jesus and how he reacted to the needs of other people, but how people acted out in their need. And Lord knows that people can act out. It says the Bible, whenever they went, the crowd ran on foot from all the towns and were there on the other side of the sea ahead of them. It uses words like they hurried, they rushed. In other words, they seemed afraid, aggressive, insistent, demanding, like a mob. And somehow Jesus loved them anyway. Racing about every corner to get Jesus, to catch him, because their own sorrow was overwhelming. Their own sufferings were so much. And Jesus described them. He described them as sheep without a shepherd. I'm reminded of a little girl, Nancy, who was in the garden filling a hole when her neighbor peered over the fence. Interested in what the cheeky-faced young girl was doing, he politely asked, "What are you up to there, Nancy?" "Well, my goldfish died, and I just buried him." The neighbor was appropriately concerned. "Oh, I'm so sorry, Nance. That's an awful big hole for a little goldfish, isn't it?" She patted the dirt on the last heap of dirt. She sighed, "Well, that's because he's inside your cat." People can be so unpredictable. Sometimes they're even mean when we're part of a faction or a mob. You don't even know if your neighbor's going to turn on you or your friend at work. That's certainly at play in Jesus' day. And I remember another crowd, the crowd before Pilate, given the choice between Jesus and the zealot Barabbas to save one life or the other, and they shout, "Give us Barabbas." Treacherous. They're a piece of work. But remarkably, in this story, Jesus saw them for the fragile, frustrated, fretful people that they are, and he loved them. He loved them in spite of it. He loved them in the midst of it. He loved them the best that he could. He sat them down and taught them many things. I'm wondering what he taught them. I'm wondering what you think he taught them. What are some of the lessons you think Jesus taught those people who were so fretful and anxious that day? What would you have taught those people there, sitting there across the sea? They'd rush there. They're probably still breathless. I just got here. I want to sit down. What do you think Jesus is teaching them? Smell the roses. Blessed are the peacemakers. Faith. Have faith. Trust God. Help is coming.
Love.
I don't know. It's not recorded in the Bible, at least not in Mark, what he taught them. But he sat there and explained to them and he spoke to them, because when we're part of a group, group action kind of takes over and group think kind of takes place of reason for simple solutions to complex problems. And certainly we have joined together sometimes in group action to draw attention to an injustice or to right the wrong. But more often it's group think that causes us to turn away from justice, to turn away from God, to unpredictable behaviors, to unintended consequences. Maybe Jesus, who had compassion on them, was able to say, back the truck up, Chuck! I don't know. But when they sat at Jesus' feet, he somehow was able to see them as individuals, not as a group anymore. Somehow Jesus sees through it all, and he has compassion on them. Children, did you hear that word? Compassion. Wherever we encounter anxiety in ourselves or in others, can we not somehow find a way to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him? There was a woman a few years ago in my office reflecting on her own stressful life. She was really up against it. And she said, you know, sometimes we get so busy running around trying to meet the people and their needs, the family and their requirements, that answer all the demands placed on us at work, and we just get plain worn out, she said to me. We get so exhausted when we've been giving little pieces of ourselves out all over the place. Little piece here, little piece there, little piece there. And we end up feeling like we have nothing left at all to give. And then at hearing her own words, she gasped as she experienced them and continued by saying, but you know what? That's not what people need. They don't need little pieces of us. They need pieces of Christ. And we have to take the time with him to recharge ourselves if we want to be able to give him away. Jesus, to the very end, remains open and vulnerable to people's need. That's how Christ makes a difference in them. That's how Christ makes a difference in us. And sometimes we need to stop, look, and listen. For it is grace to us to realize that no matter how we act out in our need, Jesus will always respond by giving us space to speak out loud our sorrows. Do you have a place to do that? To tell God or another person what you're disappointed about? Jesus will respond by listening carefully to our cares. Do you have someone who will listen to you about your cares? And Jesus will teach us how to put life into perspective and how to care for that heart. All of our needs that we front, we trust and believe that God is there ahead of us, preparing our way to care. About 20 years ago, we lived in Montrose. We had a friend who flew an airplane, and he was very generous with us. We had family come in town. One of them was my nephew, and we put him in the plane with us, and we flew all over the Uncompahgre Valley. We flew over the San Juans, which are the Alps of the Rockies. We flew over a beautiful reservoir, Silverjack, and came back down the Uncompahgre Valley and saw the canyon that's there. Incidentally, this is one of the most beautiful places in the world. That's the real Colorado. The rest of us here are just pretending. I'm just saying, it is really gorgeous. We put the plane down in Delta, Colorado, because we needed fuel. And we filled the plane up, and the fellow who was fueling the plane, this little, you know, engine, I don't know, one engine plane needed fuel, and he was a fellow who had been visiting the church, he and his wife. And we had learned recently that they were expecting their first child in the first trimester. And I got out of the plane and bounded up to him and said, oh, it's great to see you, my friendly way. And I said, how are you doing? How do you feel about that new baby coming? And he said to me, Pastor Steve, didn't you hear? This week, Grace had a miscarriage, and she spent a couple of days in the hospital. You leave to have a little time of peace and quiet, and you get interrupted. Those are the moments that God wants us to be able to respond to. Those are the moments where you set aside the things that you were talking about and you talk about what's really important. Those are the moments that some have called holy interruptions that God wants us to be aware of and we are charged to be prepared to deal with. But if we're all caught up in our own stuff, in our own anxiety, in our own cares, we can't hear God. We can barely hear ourselves. And so we took time right there to pray with him and care for him. This young was going to be father and his grief. Holy interruptions, friends, as servants of Christ in his ministry, that's what it's all about. Ministry is what happens during the interruptions. Charity is when we don't plan on it, but we reach out beyond ourselves to care. You see, we're not so much shepherds in this story, Jesus the shepherd, as we are sheepdogs, charged with rounding people, caring for them, gathering them up together, and to being available to love and care for people in the midst of their anxiety. Put your hand on your heart again. One man challenged another man to an all-day wood chopping contest. The goal was to have more wood for the fireplace, one and the challenger, than the other. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks, but the first man worked right through lunch. He barely stopped. He worked and worked and worked. And at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. He said, "I don't get it. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest. And yes, you chopped more wood than I did." And what the fellow said is that every time you checked, you didn't notice when I was resting. I was also sharpening my axe. What do you do to sharpen your axe? What do you do for yourself, for rest and recuperation? What do you do to allow for prayer? What do you do to care for this heart, the one in your own heart, in your own body? Friends, Jesus is calling us to make time to rest and to recharge, to somehow separate ourselves from the anxieties that impede, the ones that take over our daily conversations, the ones that will not give up, the ones that rattle around in our brain and make us crazy. Because part of what God is asking us to do is to turn away from the built-in and built-up anxiety that we have in our culture right now. You can always pick those cares up later if you need to. But when being pulled from pillar to post, our Lord Jesus has compassion on us. And he knows what we need to do. Let's resolve to sit at Christ's feet and to listen to him. Let's live to be open to God's holy interruptions and to sit at his feet and learn from him. Let's find a way to find rest across the sea, even for a little bit. Let worship be that time where you can reconnect with God, set aside your anxieties, and start the week over again. Amen. Please stand as we sing together the hymn, "We Are God's People." It's on the small hymnal, page 2220. We are God's people.
We're delighted at this time to welcome new friends into the midst of this congregation who are ready to take up the bonds and commitments of membership. Please come and stand here next to me. I want you to know Susan Powell, and she's here with her sister-in-law, Vicki, and we welcome you. Welcome. And on my right, your left, we have Wanda and Joel Rivera, and they come knowing God, and we bless them in his name. We recognize your baptism and your Christian experience to date as being valuable and important to you, and simply ask, as long as you are a member of Mountain View, you've come to join, will you uphold it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, we will. Okay. All right. In your bulletin is written the words for you to welcome folks. We stand to the right hand of Christian Fellowship as you read them. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we hold it our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will soar to our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Our commitment to you is to get to know you, and we appreciate that you let us get to know you as well. These friends will be at the back of the sanctuary to be introduced to you by their sponsors, and we just welcome you. What's your mind to them? Lord, we ask your praying love, we ask for your healing love to be with each and every one of us. The heart that you touch today is ours, and the heart we would touch in the world is yours. And so we join together asking your blessing and seeking your grace. In his name we pray. Amen. Please sing this with me.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
What a wonderful morning, even without the tech, right? Would you rise for the benediction? And would you put your hand on your heart? May the Lord bless your heart. May it strengthen you in your faith. May God's love touch you. And may you allow him to give you rest and peace, separate you from the things that really aren't of your concern right now. Remind us, God, not my monkeys, not my circus is sometimes exactly the right response. And help us, God, to find space for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What time are they getting in tonight? Midnight?
11 p.m.
11?
Yeah.
Good. All right.
Right.